Seekers. Mike Malloy here. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks to Brad Friedman, too, for taking care of the ranch while I was gone on Friday. Thanks, Brad. Appreciate it. As always, the killer now has a website. George Zimmerman has a website, and he's asking for donations to support, quote, my living expenses and legal defense, end quote. He writes, quote, I have created a PayPal account solely linked on this website as I would like to provide an avenue to thank my supporters personally and ensure that any funds provided are used only for living expenses and legal defense in lieu of my forced inability to maintain employment. I will also personally maintain accountability of all funds received. Now, on his website, he then posts a picture of taken on the campus of Ohio State University, the Black Cultural Center there was vandalized, and somebody spray-painted Long Live Zimmerman on the side of the building. So the killer alleges that other purported legal defense funds are not actually providing him with any financial support, and Lord knows when you're a killer, you got to have money. There's things you have to buy, you know, gum and Coca-Colas and or RC Coca-Colas and bullets. Jesus, Zimmerman has a website. Now, you can take this next story with however many grains of salt you want to take it with. But according to the Miami New Times and a few other places, armed neo-Nazis are now claiming that they are patrolling the streets of Sanford, Florida. They say they are prepared for, whatever this means, post-Trayvon Martin violence. The way this story was reported yesterday, neo-Nazis say they are conducting heavily armed patrols in and around Sanford, Florida, and are, their word, prepared for violence in case of a race riot. The patrols are there to, quote, protect white citizens in the area who are concerned for their safety. That says Jeff Shoup of the National Socialist Movement. He said, quote, we are not advocating any type of violence or attacks on anybody, but we are prepared for it. We are prepared to launch those attacks, I guess is what he's saying. We are not the type of white people who are going to be walked all over. What white people are walked all over? A type? What white people? What white people get walked all over in this country? Mr. Nazi didn't give an example. I'm sure he has millions of them flying around inside his head like monkeys coming out of his butt, but he didn't mention any. Yeah, nothing diffuses racial tension like gun-toting separatists patrolling a place like Sanford. I can remember, I think I see what's going to happen. I really do. And this will make Glenn Beck orgasmic. This will make Rush Limbaugh even fatter. This will make Neil Bortz eat more pain pills for his poor back. And that is what they've been pushing for. All these white male talk show hosts have been pushing for literally for decades. Race war. This is what they want. I have never met white people so viciously racist as the current crop of conservative or neo-fascist radio talk show hosts. Never. It's astonishing. It's unbelievable. But it's very, very real. This is what they've been pushing for over and over and over again. I remember back in the late 60s, early 70s, when the Black Panthers decided, oh, we're tired of being gunned down in the streets. So, or black folk decided that. And the Panther Party was put together. And the next thing you know, you have Huey Newton and a bunch of young black men who start patrolling their own neighborhoods. They don't go out into white neighborhoods, patrolling their own neighborhoods with rifles and shotguns. And dear sweet Lord Jesus, didn't white people go berserk? Didn't they just freak completely? Armed Negroes! Ah! And the Panthers tried to make it clear that it was a self-defense organization. So how did the white establishment respond to that? Murder. Systematic, targeted, extrajudicial execution of one Panther leader after another. Whether it was in California, New York, some godforsaken dump hole in the South, Chicago, didn't make any difference. Now, I'm sure that there are folks who will say, oh, come on, Malloy. Targeted execution by the police department of Black Panther leadership? Okay, I'll put a little qualifier on it. That's my take. I watched it happen. I was there. I mean, I saw how the police departments responded. Now, what happens when neo-Nazis arm themselves? And there's no such thing as rifles and shotguns anymore. No. These white boys have, they have bigger dreams than that, right? They have big dreams. Super clips. Semi-automatic. Fully automatic. Assault weapons. Things that go boom, 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 bang, 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 bang. Now, the Sanford Police Department says it has no evidence of neo-Nazis in the area. Sergeant David Morgenstern says, quote, we have not seen any neo-Nazis on patrol, nor have we had any reports of them. And he says, oh, we haven't seen any signs of the new Black Panther Party either. Got to put that in there. See, equivalence. Equivalence. Got to put that in there. I haven't read anything or heard anything where the new Black Panther Party or the old Black Panther Party or just a bunch of black folks who have finally had enough have said, listen, we're going to start patrolling just in case there's white on black violence post Trayvon Martin. You know, you don't hear that. The only thing you hear is that the neo-Nazis, these white cowards are strutting around with their weapons. But there has to be equivalence, you see. There has to be equivalence. There has to be. If the neo-Nazis are strutting through Stanford with their guns, then somebody has to say, well, we haven't seen them. Oh, and we haven't seen any of the Negroes either. The new Black Panther Party recently offered, if this is to be believed, I don't know anymore. I don't know. I just know that we're sitting on a tinderbox all of a sudden because some other stuff happened. I'll get to in a moment. They offered a $10,000 reward for a citizen's arrest of George Zimmerman, the killer of Trayvon Martin, his executioner. And the neo-Nazi says the bounty, that's what he calls it, a bounty, is a sign that, quote, the possibility of further racial violence is brimming over like a powder keg ready to explode into the streets. Talk about mixing your metaphors. Why don't you people learn to talk? I mean, take some of that money you spend on your weaponry and just get a goddamn book of English language and learn how to talk like, you know, good white people. Could you do that? Pray.
Has he mentioned yet tonight how much he hates these people? It's Mike Malloy.
Past the hour. This hour is being sponsored by, let me see here, Anonymous in Seattle. I have a lot of Anonymouses, or it's all one. I don't know. Anyway, this Anonymous writes, join the fight for the truth. Become a member of the Truth Seeker Club. Send a check or use your PayPal. Go to MikeMalloy.com and pledge $25, $50, or $100 a month to save independent progressive broadcasting. All right. Thank you, Anonymous. Thanks for the sponsorship. That's a great message. MikeMalloy.com and pledge whatever you want to pledge to save independent progressive broadcasting. Anonymous in Seattle. Not Chicago, Mike. Seattle. boom, 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 boom. Back to Sanford, poor Sanford, Florida, where the neo-Nazis have decided to patrol. You know, let the guardian angels show up. And, of course, they're unarmed because they are not scaredy-cat little rat bastards who have to walk around with great big guns and little tiny wee-wees. The, Yeah, well... You tell me. So the Black Panthers show up. Oh, I'm sorry, the Guardian Angels show up. And everybody would go out of their minds, even though they're unarmed. And they don't come in all threatening. What they do is, you know, they come in to do what the neo-Nazis, right, say they're doing.
Well, we're here to protect white people.
The guardian angels don't come in to protect white people or black people or brown people or any kind of people. What they do is come in and patrol a neighborhood where there's a possibility of crime. And I don't think there's any better definition of crime than these neo-Nazis. Really. But the part that is intriguing to me, the patrols comprise 10 to 20 volunteers, the neo-Nazis, from across the state. Florida is chock-a-block with neo-Nazis. Florida is one of the dumbasses states in the union anyway. Chock-a-block with dumbassery. Really. Now, I'm talking about certain sections like Tampa, like Jacksonville, the middle part of the state, with the exception of Gainesville. Tallahassee to a certain degree, and then you get into small towns and you have dumbassery has been elevated to an art form in some of these places. You know, the white people dumbassery. It's just, I don't know about black people dumbassery or, Latino people dumbassery. I just know about white folk dumbassery. I guess that's because I'm white. But these volunteers, 10 to 20 of them in a cadre from across the state, including some from Miami. And what's his name? Jeff Shoup of the National Socialist Movement says he can't specify what kind of firepower the patrols had with him. But he did say this, quote, in Arizona, the guys can walk around with assault weapons, and that's totally legal. What I can tell you is that any patrols that we are doing now in Florida are totally within the law. Do I say totally a lot? I do, because I'm a totally jerk. But, you know, we're going to totally walk around this totally little Sanford with our totally big guns and totally make sure that, you know, these uppity, you know, other folk are totally intimidated. You got to be kidding. You got to be kidding. When he was asked if such patrols just wouldn't make things worse, you know, like spark a race riot, Shoup insists that they are simply, quote, the neo-Nazis are just a, quote, show of solidarity with the white community down there. We won't intimidate anybody. In fact, whenever there is one of these racially charged events, Al Sharpton goes wherever blacks need him. We do similar things. We are a white civil rights organization. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And Mr. Nazi goes to great lengths to contrast his organization with the New Black Panther Party. How many members of the New Black Panther Party as of yesterday? Six? Isn't that an invention of the Rupert Murdoch terror broadcast organization? Didn't they make that all up, or is there such a thing as the New Black Panther Party? Anyway, Mr. Nazi blames the NBPP for scaring local whites and causing the National Socialist, you know, movement to show up. And Mr. Shope admits that the Nazis and, you know, the Black Panthers are actually alike and that they are both racial separatists. I don't know. I can't retain my sanity too much longer. I don't know about you.
Mike Malloy. Turn down your speakers. It'll be our secret.
25 before the hour. This hour is being sponsored by Anonymous in Seattle. And Anonymous writes, join the fight for the truth. Become a member of the Truth Seeker Club. Send a check or use your PayPal and go to MikeMalloy.com. Pledge $25, $50, or $100 a month to save independent progressive broadcasting. Thanks, Anonymous. A road sign on a Michigan freeway was hacked this morning. Road sign, you know, slow down. Your speed is 25, you know, road sign. And its message changed to Trayvon, and then, of course, the famous N-word. Trayvon, a N-word. According to a spokesman for the state's Michigan State Department of Transportation, someone had broken the lock on the sign's controls and changed the message, warning of construction, to the message with the racial slur. The spokesman told Huffington Post, we were first alerted to it a little after midnight. By 12:50 a.m., it was returned to the appropriate message. Not too many people saw it, the spokesman said, but it was long enough to make people very upset. He says that the state is hoping to gather evidence, determine who it is, and take appropriate action. Probably more National Socialists or neo-Nazi cowards. And I don't know. Do you need to know anything else about the patrols in taking place by the Nazis in Sanford, Florida? I don't think so. I just want to add, though, that according to the Miami New Times, the Nazi leader, the commander, no less, Jeff Shoep, is also quick to clarify that he isn't taking sides. Oh, heavens to Hannah. No, of course not. In the murder of Trayvon Martin, he says that's for the courts to decide. And besides, Mr. Shoep adds, Zimmerman is not even white. Shoep says, quote, I think there's some confusion going on. A lot of people think that this guy who shot Trayvon was white, but he's half Hispanic or Cuban or something. He certainly doesn't look white to me. end quote. Now, if you're one of the uneducated souls out there who think that sending in stormtroopers seems a sure way to incite a race riot, Mr. Shoep says that's way off base. He says, quote, we don't wish for things like that. But there have been race riots in Detroit and L.A., so we know those types of things happen. You can either be prepared or you can be blindsided. This way, if something were to touch off a race riot, we'd already be in the area. To do what? Well, to execute black... Oh, I'm sorry. Were you asking me to do what? That's okay. Man. And then you have John Derbyshire. How much more of this you want? You want me to get off this topic and move on? How much more of this you want? John Derbyshire writing at National Review. He wrote as if he were addressing his own children and addressing about the talk that black parents have to give their children about racism. I don't think there are very many white parents who have to, I never have. Have to sit your children down, your white children, and say, now listen, you're going to have to be very, very careful. You know, go through the talk that every single responsible and insane world, a responsible black parent has to do in this racist, murderous society. Have to do it. Now, before you jump up and, you know, start waving your arms and screaming about black-on-black crime. Sure, there's black-on-black, white-on-white, green-on-yellow. We all know that. I mean, come on. That's not, though, what we're talking about, are we? There you go with your little equivalent thing. We're talking about innocent black kids, and I mean innocent. Trayvon smoked reefer. Ooh, execute him. Trayvon got in a fight in school. Ooh, execute him. I'm talking about innocent kids like Trayvon, who, because of their skin color and hair texture and so on and so forth, their parents must sit them down at some point and say, now look, this is what you're stepping into every day. White people don't do that. White people never have done that. And up until recently, and probably right now, very few parents of Hispanic kids do that. They have their own problems to worry about where it concerns the cops, show us your papers, that kind of thing. But black kids don't even get a chance to show their papers. Come on, come on, come on. Don't give me that look. You folks out there in radio land, you know what the hell I'm talking about. Don't play your innocent Caucasian role on me. Not on me, because it's not going to work. Okay? Save that for your friends. We go, what, me? Oh, what's Malloy talking about? So just save it, okay? But Derbyshire, in the National Review, he got fired. He wrote a column advising his children to protect themselves by avoiding African Americans, to closely scrutinize black politicians, and to accept that white people are more intelligent. Derbyshire wrote the offending article titled The Talk, non-black version. That was his way of responding to the widespread debate over the talk that many African American parents give their teenage sons about racism in America. Derbyshire's column appeared in another publication, Takis Magazine, run by the right-wing Greek socialite Taki Theodorakopoulos. Or something like that, who has himself faced accusation of racism. But the National Review had no editorial responsibility for Derbyshire's article, according to The Guardian of the UK, but it said he was so closely associated with the magazine that his, quote, outlandish, nasty, and indefensible writing, end quote, was in effect a letter of resignation. Derbyshire had previously described himself as a racist and homophobe, and he wrote the column in the form of advice, quote, to his teenage children. He advised them not to attend events likely to draw a lot of blacks, quote, quote. He wrote, if planning a trip to a beach or amusement park at some date, find out whether it is likely to be swamped with blacks. If you are at some public event at which the number of blacks suddenly swells, leave as quickly as possible. He wrote that many black people only have cognitively demanding jobs because of affirmative action. I guess that would include president? The black heads of corporations in the United States? I don't know. He doesn't specify. Elspeth Reeve, writing for The Atlantic, called this freak's article race baiting. Elspeth wrote, quote, you're probably familiar with the phrase, no offense, but, which always precedes something offensive, wrapped in an I'm just telling you like it is attitude. In certain parts of the country, there's a similar use of the phrase, I'm not racist, but, which always signifies that the speaker's about to say something racist. Derbyshire specialty is a fancy pants version of I'm not racist, but, Elspeth Reeve wrote. My. It's just, the National Review's editor, Rich Lowry, initially distanced the magazine from Derbyshire by calling his article appalling. But as the criticism continued to build, he went further on Saturday and fired him, I guess. I don't know. So it just, you know, the people said that because Barack Obama was literally part African, literally part American, that, and got elected president on the vote with 55 million votes, of which most of his votes came from white people, simply because of the preponderance of white people versus black folks. You know, there's more whites in this country than African Americans. So this was supposed to be the post-racial society. Remember that? And, of course, those of us who were familiar with race and familiar with the insanity of race just kind of chuckled and said, yeah, okay, let's see how that works out. And, yeah, I'm probably more familiar with race issues than the average Caucasoid. I just am. You just have to accept that. I'm sorry. Not trying to get over on you, but, you know, I am.
Go gentle into that good night. Rage, rage against the flying monkey right with Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour. This hour has been sponsored by Anonymous in Seattle. And Anonymous's message, join the fight for the truth. Become a member of the Truth Seeker Club. Send a check or use your PayPal and go to MikeMalloy.com and pledge $25, $50, or $100 a month to save independent progressive broadcasting. Thank you, Anonymous in Seattle, very much. The bottom of the next hour, we finally have it. It took some doing, but Mike Malloy Radio Gumshoe picks up where it left off some time ago. There was an awful lot of work that Bob Alexander had to go through. He had to dig and dig and dig, and there were several people working on it. There were all kinds of effort. But I think well, I don't think. I know that lost effects and lost pieces of information were found. And Mike Malloy Radio Gumshoe returns starting tonight, bottom of the next hour. So stick around for that. The there was an atrocity, another one, in Tulsa. A 19-year-old and a 32-year-old, roommates, both males. The 19-year-old describes himself as Native American. he also calls himself white. The 32-year-old is pretty much a Caucasoid. They decided to go kill people. They waged what city leaders in Tulsa believe was a racially motivated shooting rampage in the predominantly black neighborhoods of North Tulsa early Friday morning, driving through the streets in a pickup truck and randomly shooting pedestrians. Three black people were killed. Two others were wounded in the attacks. They're both being held. They both were arrested. They're being held on almost $10 million bond each. Jack Henderson, a city councilman who's black and whose district includes all of the shooting sites, says that before the arrest, many in the area were terrified. Hey, Nazis, you only protect white people, I guess. Oh, never mind. Mr. Henderson said, a lot of people in my community have been calling me afraid that they couldn't go outside, didn't know if they could even go to church. This happened Easter weekend. This is the ironic part. No, that's just a statement of fact. You know what the ironic part of this whole story is? Of this random attack on black folk that resulted in three people being gunned down? Huh? You want to know the ironic part? The 32-year-old, and you... If you've seen his picture, he's a typical 32-year-old white person who decides to go start murdering people because of their race. Just a one of these vacant-looking crackers that just, I don't know, it's just scary. And it's scary to me. But he had recently broken up with his fiance, the 32-year-old. And on his Facebook page, he called her Snake in the Grass. Snake in the Grass. Because she had apparently refused to let him see his son. Probably because this woman did not want the son anywhere near this sick son of a bitch. But he describes himself as a Christian who reads the Bible every night. That's how he describes. I am a Christian. I read my Bible every night. Now, excuse me while I go kill me some black people. And some of you folks wonder why I link hatred and the current brand of Christianity that's trying to set this country on fire? So, Tulsa, Oklahoma, a place that is not really known for its race relations, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm talking about? The three people who were killed, Denier Fields, 49 years old, Bobby Clark, 54 years old, William Allen, 31 years old. The two killers have had previous run-ins with the law in 2006. Mr. Watts, who is a Christian and reads the Bible every night, pled guilty to a misdemeanor charge of assault and battery in a case of domestic abuse, you know, beating up his wife. 3 years later, he was charged with aggravated assault and battery in a case that was dismissed. His wife was probably, or whoever the woman was, terrified to testify. And last year, the 19-year-old pled guilty to a charge of driving with a suspended license. So his fiance is a snake in the grass, and he's a Christian who reads the Bible every night, or so he says. I mean, I don't know. Maybe he's lying. I don't know. I don't really don't care, except for the fact that there is a definite linkage between terrorism in this country, domestic terrorism, and Christians. I'll bet you if you went up to the neo-Nazi commander down there in Sanford, Florida, who feels compelled to patrol to protect white people in case, you know, something happens, I bet if you asked him, hey, are you, what are you, you a Jew?
Oh, damn!
You Muslim? Hey, I'm going to shoot your head off. Well, what are you? I'm a Christian. Really? We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Being sponsored by Anonymous in Seattle. All right, the message this hour, fellow truth seekers, give money now. Time to break out that checkbook or PayPal and sponsor this program today. Join the Truth Seeker Club and keep the fire lit. Well, thank you, Anonymous. In about half an hour, we will have for you the return of Mike Malloy Radio Gumshoe. I don't know if you're going to be able to handle this, handle it or not. PayUpNow.org. PayUpNow.org is a site that gives the annual tax avoidance awards. These are, it goes to corporations that do anything they can not to pay taxes here in the United States where they are based. These are the corporations that have given capitalism its definition. Take, take, take. Rip as much as you can. Don't pay your fair share. Pay enormous bonuses to your executives and screw the working class. Well, guess who won 2011? The top spot went to General Electric, which made pre-tax profits of $44 billion from 2008 to 2010, but received almost $5 billion in refunds. A GE spokesperson said, quote, "We are committed to acting with integrity in relation to our tax obligations," end quote. Sons of bitches. Now, keep in mind that GE is 49% owner of NBC Television and anything that has NBC in its name. CNBC, MSNBC, blah, blah, blah. The 51% partner in that venture is Comcast, the nation's largest cable company. Second, Exxon, notable for having the nation's highest pre-tax earnings 3 years in a row and a 2% federal income tax payment rate, 2%. And Huber's comparable to that of GE. ExxonMobil issued this statement, quote, "Any claim we don't pay taxes is absurd. ExxonMobil is a leading U.S. taxpayer," end quote. You see, it doesn't make any difference. Absolutely nothing matters to these capitalist swine. They will look you, I mean, the evidence is right there. Right there. 2% is what they paid. Right there. If you're working, you paid probably 15 times that. But ExxonMobil, no. Any claim we don't pay taxes is absurd. What do you got, a bunch of numbers there? Oh, it's on a corporate tax return? Oh, it's from the IRS? Well, it has to be absurd. We pay our taxes. There were numerous other candidates. By the way, this comes from nationofchange.org. Nationofchange.org. There are numerous other candidates, each no less unworthy than the next. Verizon and Boeing and Dow Chemical and DuPont all made profits 3 years in a row, but all paid zero taxes over the three-year period. Citigroup and Bank of America, with a combined $8 billion of pre-tax earnings in 2009-2010, each paid zero taxes 2 years in a row. From 2008 to 2010, Chevron paid less than 5%. Merck Pharmaceuticals, 5%. Hewlett-Packard, 3%. IBM, 2%. And Carnival Cruise Lines, 1%. And according to the website here, in the past year, new information has surfaced about past and present nominees for the Avoidance Awards. According to one Citizens for Tax Justice report, quote, from 2001 through 2010, General Electric's U.S. net federal cash income taxes paid appears to have been less than zero. Less than zero. Another Citizens for Tax Justice analysis concludes that the company paid 2.3% of its $81 billion U.S. pre-tax profits in federal income taxes over the last 10 years. 2.3%. In 2011, GE paid 5.1% of its total net income in U.S. federal taxes. Joining the 10-year non-payment club was Boeing, which from 2002 to 2011, according to Citizens for Tax Justice, has paid nothing in net federal income taxes despite $32 billion in pre-tax U.S. profits. Nothing. 10 years. Nothing. Now, Boeing has two U.S. plants working overtime to fill contracts for 800 Dreamliner jets. Woo-woo! They claimed the largest percentage refund among the top tax avoiders in 2011. Refund. Refund. They made $32 billion in profits and got a refund. How about you, True Seeker? Did you get a refund? Citigroup also claimed a refund despite announcing a profit of almost $15 billion for the year. Exxon paid its usual 2.1%. Chevron paid 4%. Verizon, IBM, and Dow each paid a little something. And you can get all this if you go to the website, payupnow.org. Payupnow.org. And now for the awards. Tax avoidance gold goes to Boeing for its long record of worsening tax avoidance and massive 2011 refund despite billions in Dreamliner contracts. The silver award defaults to GE, whose unparalleled history of tax avoidance kept it near the top. The bronze award goes to Citigroup for avoiding tax obligations on $15 billion of net income this past year. And all these companies should be recognized for their skills in avoiding payment for the benefits derived from building up their companies in America. Why should they have to pay anything? I mean, what are you talking about, Malloy? Class warfare, you socialist? Oh, Jesus, God. Isn't that interesting? Well, I wonder how. I don't know. I'm just wondering. How did the people who work at NBC? I'm thinking of Brian Williams, who does the news every night, and he sits there knowing. Surely he must know that General Electric, which made $44 billion from 2008 to 2010, paid zero and got $5 billion in refunds. And a spokesperson for the company that Brian Williams works for says, quote, we are committed to acting with integrity in relation to our tax obligations. This is called integrity, where you lie, cheat, steal, use all the loopholes you can, suck everything you can out of this country, and don't give a goddamn dime back. As a matter of fact, after you're finished sucking out the profit, suck out a tax return. Now, how does that work? They didn't pay anything. Ah, well, there's ways. Let somebody get earned income tax credit and listen to the right wing banshees and scum howl their guts out. Let some working class family get earned income tax credit and they get a $378 refund and they didn't pay anything and listen to these sons of bitches just yell and froth and scream, huh? I'm the tax man. Yeah.
From the left, it's Mike Malloy.
Twenty-one past the hour, and under the heading is under the heading of "Gee, you know, there's not enough guns in this society." You know, maybe it's time to start arming the 5-year-olds and 6-year-olds who go to daycare, because today in Minnesota, Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, which I believe is a suburb of Minneapolis, somebody went into a daycare center and shot 3 people dead. Boom, boom, boom. What happened, the way it's reported by, I don't know who reported it. The way it's reported, a mother who dropped off her toddler at a home daycare today had a weird feeling after she dropped off her kids. So she went back a few minutes later. When she came back, she discovered 3 adults dead, shot. The woman's child was unhurt. And no other children were at the daycare center at the time. Normally, there's 10 to 12 kids there. The daycare center was called Visions and Butterflies Child Care. It's licensed to care for as many as 12 children. Police did not release the identities of the victims or the woman who found them. Police inspector in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, said the mother dropped off her child at the house and spoke with someone there. As she was leaving, she saw a man near the house on foot, and something about him raised her suspicions. And the police spokesman said there was some reason for her to call back to the house. So the woman called the daycare center, was talking to someone when the line went dead. So she immediately went back to the house and found three people had been shot. She grabbed her child and called 911. Police spokesman said the woman saw the same suspicious man nearby on a bicycle when she returned to the daycare center. Now, the really terrible part of the story the NRA would tell you is that the child wasn't armed. If it doesn't give the child's age, but you have to consider that she's probably or he's probably a preschooler. So let's say, you know, 4 or 5. If that child would have been armed and knew how to handle, you know, something that didn't have a whole lot of kick to it. I'm sure the NRA has guns like that for little kids. And if that little kid would have been taught how to handle a weapon, and I'm sure the NRA advocates for this, you know, let's teach them young, because you never know when somebody's going to break into a daycare center and make everybody fall down dead. So if a 4-year-old would have been armed with the appropriate weapon, hopefully one that was fully automatic, so all the kid had to do is point and squeeze, and then just kind of move the barrel around the room, and, you know, because, you know, 4-year-olds probably can't aim real well, you know what I'm saying? So, but that didn't happen because there are laws against that. These damned laws, these damn stupid anti-gun laws, this is ridiculous. An armed preschooler is a live preschooler. And anyone who tells you difference is obviously a communist born in Kenya who's a Muslim. And who would tell you that Trayvon Martin looks like what his son would look like if he had one. You know I'm talking about, don't you? Huh? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well,
if
you're going to make the blog
sites so I think the next effort that the NRA should get serious about, what do they have, a little rapid repeater? Or what's the little creature, Ronnie Gunnut, you know, that they use to teach kids how to fire weapons? You know, you can see these on some of the cable channels. You know, I took my son deer hunting. You did? How old's your son? He's 9. Oh, how did he feel about killing Bambi? Oh, he loved it. Really? Yeah, oh yeah, he loves it. He loves to shoot things dead. Okay. But see, that kid was trained to shoot things dead. Now, if the preschoolers could just be taught, and I'm sure the National Rifle Association will come up with something here. Come on, boys. You can do it. Just because they're little hands, that doesn't mean they can't get it around a trigger on a fully automatic weapon. I mean, what do you have to do? You just stick your finger in there and squeeze. And, you know, it could be especially engineered trigger that doesn't require a lot of pounds per square inch of pressure to pull the trigger. Pow, 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 pow. Mary had a little lamb, before the hour. All right. I hope you are ready for this. The return of Mike Malloy, Radio Gumshoe.
From Hollywood, the Jimmy Durante Show.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly.
Now, have you heard the news?
People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
The following is an announcement from Dr. Menlo Park of the American Institute of Advanced Radiotronics.
Thank you, and good evening. The program you are about to hear is the product of months of painstaking work by restoration teams from the American Institute of Advanced Radiotronics. As you may remember, the Mike Malloy Radio Gumshoe series was completely revamped for the 2007-2008 season. Millions of dollars were spent producing live sound effects.
Cue them up! Cue the Air Force! Cheering extras.
Along with assembling the world's finest musicians for the proposed Mike Malloy Radio Gumshoe Symphonic Orchestra. The 36-episode storyline would have been the most ambitious radio series of its time. Sadly, tragedy struck 4 days before airtime. Saboteurs dressed as flying monkeys broke into the production facility and armed with military-grade cellophane burned the complex to the ground. All the recordings and production equipment were destroyed. But all was not lost. In the spring of 2010, new advances in hard drive data retrieval made it possible to begin reconstruction of most of the 36 episodes. The first three installments were far too damaged for even our sophisticated techniques, but tonight we are pleased to bring you the return of Mike Malloy, Radio Gumshoe.
Two travelers blast beyond the barriers of space and time through a million could-be years and 1,080 worlds. Yes, radio listeners, it's time once again to join truth seekers from around the globe who anxiously await the return of Mike Malloy, Radio Gumshoe.
You remember last time Mike, Kathy, and Asta tracked down the mysterious ringleader of the American Tea Party to a seemingly abandoned warehouse on the edge of town. Falling through a secret panel, they discovered the secret laboratory of the Tea Party kingpin, who turned out to be none other than undead uber-Nazi and rocket scientist Werner von Braun. The zombie Nazi quickly overpowered Mike, Kathy, and Asta by flooding the lab with knockout gas and locked them into the Tesla Time-O-Matic, a temporal displacement pod von Braun had stolen from forgotten inventor Nikola Tesla. Let's listen in, shall we, as Mike, Kathy, and Asta continue their fight against the flying monkey right in tonight's thrilling episode, Chapter 4, A New Hope.
Kathy, are you all right?
Oh, I think so. What happened?
I don't know. The last thing I remember...
They don't have time for cheap expositional passages. I knocked you out, threw you into a time machine pod, and I'm about to send you careening through time where you'll never bother me or anyone else again.
You can't do this.
Sure I can. What time do you have?
Time?
Yeah? What time is it?
It's 4:00.
Okay, then. 4, 3, 2, 1. Blast off!
Wait!
Always enjoy a good countdown.
Mike, was he serious? Is this really a time machine?
Who knows? We've only got a few minutes left in this episode to figure a way out of here. There must be a control panel or something.
Here's a keyboard. There must be an onboard computer.
Yeah, how do we turn it on?
It's probably already running. Is there a monitor?
Over here. I switched it on. Nothing but a blue screen. Hit the escape key. Hit any key.
Okay. Here goes.
Welcome to voice print identification. When you see the red light go on, would you please state in the following order: your destination, your nationality, and your full name. Surname first, Christian name, and initial.
What?
Thank you.
What?
You are cleared through voice print identification.
Well, that was easy enough. I thought there'd be some sort of security.
It's Windows 3.1, Mike. Anybody can break into this thing. I'll see if I can start the main program.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I am a HAL 9000.
Oh, no. This isn't good. This isn't good at all.
This is really HAL? I mean, HAL. HAL. From the movie, HAL.
It sure sounds like it.
I hope the two of you are not concerned about this.
I don't know. Maybe it's because you killed everybody?
Just a moment.
Now what?
I've just picked up a fault in the AE-35 unit.
What's that?
It's going to go 100% failure.
So, we're all going to die, right?
Well, yes.
Mike, Kathy, and Asta are careening through time, guided only by an obstinate, brain-damaged, homicidal computer. Can they escape back into their own time? Here's a scene from our next episode.
Well, here goes.
Silent Breed is people!
Yeah, probably went a little too far.
For more heart-pounding excitement, be sure to tune in next time for The Return of Mike Malloy, Radio Gumshoe.
Well, it certainly left me breathless. I can't wait. The Return of Mike Malloy, Radio Gumshoe, written and produced in Canada by Robert Alexander. Those are fun to do. And, of course, Bob, you know, he lives someplace where I think this time of the year there's only about 2 hours of daylight a day, right, Canada? I think. So it gives him plenty of time to write and produce these episodes. The next one will be coming up very soon. Now, I understand from sources that Canadian spring is just around the corner. They're a little bit behind us, I guess. It's still, I don't know, it's still midwinter in Vancouver, and spring will soon be there. It'll be more daylight, and Bob will be able to work on these a little bit more, provide us with more episodes. The Return of Mike Malloy, Radio Gumshoe, written and produced by Bob Alexander. And the voices were performed by the Mighty Malloy radio players. This hour is being sponsored by Anonymous in Seattle, as was the first hour. If it's the same Anonymous message, fellow truth seekers, give money now. Time to break out that checkbook or PayPal and sponsor this program today. It's all caps. Join the Truth Seeker Club and keep the fire lit. Thanks, Anonymous. It's very appropriate message right now. Yeah. Roz in Canada, speaking of Canada, writes, Mike, you know the book, What's the Matter with Kansas? Yes, I do. Well, now one could say, what's the matter with the USA? What is the matter with the United States? There's a lunacy spreading like a plague across your country. The nonsensical arguments that have prevailed of late, none of which really have anything to do with policy or running the country, have taken away from the more serious affairs of state. All this craziness seems to have been loosed with the onset of the GOP race. Romney, Gingrich, and Santorum have only one argument in their arsenal, that of trashing the president. They've not put forth one logical plan on how to make America a better country. Their goal on behalf of the masters is to punish the working class and reward the rich, nothing new there. I guess half the American population think that now it's okay to be themselves. They can now show their true colors as their leaders seem to be in ascendance, as if giving them cover. She's talking about the crazy right-wingers. You might now call the country the United States of Bedlam. Well, that's how it seems from an outsider's viewpoint. Let's get this crazy election over and done with. Then those creeps can get back into the holes from which they crawled. While everybody's attention is concentrated on these sideshows, more ominous things like surveillance of the population is going unremarked. Soon the net will close on all these idiots, and perhaps then they will switch off Dancing with the Stars and start getting serious about the truly serious stuff. Roz. Not if recent history is any indication, Roz. I don't know what it takes. I guess if this country were invaded, visibly invaded by an alien race, something with six or 12 appendages and a feeding hole, but no ocular holes. You know, just something that came storming in on some kind of a ship from somewhere else. That maybe then, you know, Americans would say, oh, ooh, damn. Maybe we ought to do something to make our country a little bit stronger. I mean, truly stronger, not stronger militarily, but stronger from an intellectual standpoint, a soulful standpoint. I don't know. When we come back, guess where China is operating real successfully? Sponsored by Anonymous in Seattle, whose message is, fellow truth seekers, give money now. Time to break out that checkbook or PayPal and sponsor this program today. Join the Truth Seeker Club and keep the fire lit. Thank you, Anonymous in Chicago. So China, guess where China is hanging out and building things? Really nice things, too. A $35 million stadium was just built and opened in the Bahamas, a gift from the Chinese government. The tiny island nation of Dominica in the West Indies has received a grammar school, a renovated hospital, and a sports stadium free, just a gift. Antigua and Barbuda got a power plant and a cricket stadium, and a new school is on the way. The Prime Minister of Trinidad and Tobago can thank Chinese contractors for the craftsmanship in her official residence. Huh? New York Times had the story. You know, we send troops to Australia to let the Chinese know we ain't messing around. Yeah, we sent, 2,500 troops to the northern state in Australia. I'm drawing a blank, but don't email me. So we have these troops now, soldiers in Australia, as a way of saying, "Hey, God damn it, you Chinese!" So what do the Chinese do? Well, they come to the West Indies and build things, build roads. China announced late last year that it would lend $6.3 billion to Caribbean governments, adding considerably to the hundreds of millions of dollars in loans, grants, and other forms of assistance it has already channeled there in the past 10 years. Did you know this has been going on for 10 years? And as the Times says, unlike in Africa or South America or other parts of the world where China's forays are largely driven by a search for commodities, the Chinese presence in the Caribbean derives mainly from long-term economic ventures like tourism and loans and potential new allies that are inexpensive to win over. So why aren't we doing this? Why don't you give me a goddamn break? Why are we doing this? You've been to Puerto Rico lately? and we own Puerto Rico. You been there? Oh, my God. American diplomatic cables released through WikiLeaks and published by the British newspaper The Guardian quoted diplomats as being increasingly worried about the Chinese presence less than 190 miles from the United States and speculating on the purpose of all this largesse. One theory, according to a cable written in 2003, suggested that China was lining up allies as, quote, a strategic move, end quote, for the eventual end of the Castro era in Cuba, with which it has strong relations. I just find it very interesting. Where else? Let me see here. Where is this? Well, the entire archipelago of these islands, these West Indies, less than an hour flight from Florida, it's all gotten particular attention from the Chinese. Aside from that new stadium in the Bahamas, which has a plaque affixed prominently at the entrance that says China Aid, Chinese workers in the Bahamas are busy helping build the $3.5 billion Bahamar, one of the region's largest mega resorts, Bahamar. Beyond that, the Chinese State Bank agreed in recent weeks to put up $41 million for a new port, a new bridge, a new large Chinese embassy is being built downtown Nassau. What else? In August, a Chinese company, Complant, bought the last three government sugar estates in Jamaica and has leased cane fields for a total investment there of $166 million. And last year, Jamaica, for the first time, shipped its famed Blue Mountain coffee to China. But it strikes me as so typically the moves of a dying empire and the moves of an emerging empire. The dying empire is us. What do? You goddamn Chinese people! We send troops over to Australia to sit. Is it in Darwin? Whatever the city is on the northern coast. We got troops down here now. We'll show you. How many troops do you have? We got 2,500. Really? Well, that's impressive. Do you know how many people live in China? Okay, I get your point. But the Chinese, you see, they don't, you know, they haven't sent troops to Cuba. they haven't sent troops to, you know, soldiers and guns and things that go boom to the Bahamas. They have sent gifts, stadiums and roads and ports and bridges and hospitals and schools. Oh, wait, isn't that what we're doing in Afghanistan? No! Oh, I thought that's what we were supposed to be doing in Afghanistan. No! Oh, okay. Boy, those Chinese. They are smart. Boy, those American policymakers. They are dumber than dog do. 2,500 troops to Australia. Oh, that'll make the Chinese scared. And it'll do so much for the Australians, you know. 2,500 U.S. troops. Well, hell, they got to buy stuff, right? But over here, 190 miles off our coast, all kinds of good things. Resorts, bridges, dams, sugarcane operations. Did I mention ports? Stadiums. Resorts. We'll be right back. Welcome back. 7 past the hour. This hour is being sponsored by John O'Connor. Thank you, John. Interesting message here. Huey Long, Upton Sinclair, Howard Zinn, and Mike Malloy. Holy Toledo. Okay, well, thank you very much for the sponsorship, John, but I, yeah, that's a pretty rarefied group. Thanks, John. The economic news is mixed, to say the least. And if you were paying attention to the numbers on Friday, Friday's jobless numbers, you can conclude that whatever recovery we're in is barely there. Very, very good article in Sunday's New York Times about, Bill Clinton's ending poverty, or ending welfare as we know it from back in the mid-90s, when Bill Clinton and Newt Gingrich worked together quite effectively to guarantee a permanent underclass in this country. And they did a good job. The article in the New York Times shows how good a job they did, Clinton and Gingrich, and the Republican Congress that Clinton was so willing to work with. They did such a good job with the ending poverty, or ending welfare as we know it. I keep saying poverty because the poverty levels of people who are struggling to get a toehold in this society, the poverty levels continue to inch up. Only it's deep poverty, sociological term, I guess, as opposed to shallow poverty. Deep poverty is what it's referred to now. And the so-called economic recovery that what are the figures or the statements made that the economic recession that we're in ended 2 years ago? It was only 2008, 9, and 10. And then in 2010, it was declared over. And here we are halfway through 2012. And if this is not a recession, somebody please give me some new definitions, because mine no longer work. But I digress. The slight uptick in the numbers, not in the anecdotal evidence that people are really suffering, and the suffering is becoming horrifically acute for children, for women, for long-term unemployed, whether they're men or women. I mean, it's just astonishing. If you read the article, it's just painful. And I hesitate to use that word because it sounds like, I spent the weekend reading poverty porn, which is not the case. But I did read my Sunday New York Times, and the article is just painful to read about what women and children are experiencing. A lot of women who are divorced with children and never married with children. Single moms, and what the kids are going through. Millions of children. That's a staggering number to me. I can't comprehend that. I can comprehend 5 or 10 children who are struggling. I can comprehend maybe 30, but a million, 2 million? No, I can't do that. So the so-called recovery that is totally missing a huge, huge selection, segment of the American population. This recovery continues to inch along. And now, adding insult to injury, the Republicans are trying to take credit. In an editorial in the Times this morning, Romney, for instance, said that the American people revived the economy while Obama made it worse. Now, let me tell you something. Regardless of what you think of Obama or any politician, when the opposition starts to, and the opposition is always right wing. It's always from the right. The lies begin. There is going to be an avalanche of lies dumped on Obama. There's going to be an avalanche of money from these super PACs that is going to be spent on television commercials. The people behind the super PACs, the super rich, the billionaires, literally the billionaires, are going to be spending more money to defeat Obama than you and I can possibly conceive of. Now, regardless of your opinion about the political acuity of Barack Obama and whether or not he is a good leader for the American people, set that aside, because there are those of us who see him as a leader who has refused to bring closure to the Nazis that ran this country for 8 years. And yes, they were Nazis. They were involved in state-sponsored socialism, i.e. national socialism. They were warmongers. They invaded countries. They were Nazis. Let's not mess around here. Nazis maybe with a small N, but that's exactly what they were. And rather than have put together a Truth and Reconciliation Commission this country desperately needed, of course, that never happened. So regardless of your feelings about Obama politically, do you want to sit quietly, and this certainly is an option, while literally hundreds of millions of dollars are spent to sell a lie, a series of lies to the American public, which is what is about to begin. As soon as this worthless lump, Mitt Romney, who doesn't have the backbone of a worm, doesn't have any courage whatsoever, will not claim his political center that he's occupied since he was governor of Massachusetts. He won't claim that at all. All of a sudden, he's this frothing, screaming, right-wing religious fanatic. I know, he doesn't talk about his Mormonism. He aligns himself with the religious crazy people and the Christian right. But in order for Romney to even have a chance, the lies are going to have to come in a seeming unending parade on television, pounding, hammering. See, most voters in this country, and I don't use the word most advisedly, I use it freely. Most voters in this country are either too stupid to figure out what's really going on or too busy to figure out what's really going on. And by what's really going on, I just mean how these candidates are being sold. I'm not talking about any deep, dark conspiracy. There's enough of those around. But I'm talking about either too busy, most American voters, too busy or too stupid or too disengaged. Just don't care. But the ones who are too stupid or the ones who are susceptible to, selling you pills, for example, during the evening news, pills that will make your aching feet okay, but will also make you blind and have heart attacks, that kind of stuff. People who listen to the disclaimers about medical garbage that's being dumped into people's systems are the same people who are willing to be sold lies where it concerns the next president, whoever the next president challenging Obama happens to be. More on this when we come back.
Not a doctor, but don't you believe, you don't know. My world become a
Radical Talk Radio. It's Mike Malloy.
So, with the full and certain understanding that the moneyed interests in this country who have no reason not to like Barack Obama. Barack Obama has been wonderful to the millionaires and billionaires. The reason they don't like him is because he's a black man. It's very simple. Anyone who disputes that is, I don't know, not playing with a full deck. It is what it is. You might as well just accept it and be done with it. You know what we talked about last hour, for God's sake. So, anyway, in order to force-feed Romney down the throats of Americans, the lies are going to have to be monumental. Now, in my opinion, it's not going to work. Barack Obama is going to be re-elected. But the damage that is going to be done in the next 6 months is incalculable. There will be more incidents. There will be more incidents like we saw over the weekend in Tulsa. There will be more incidents like we saw several weeks ago in Sanford, Florida. The right wing in this country is going to finally get to the point where they understand that even spending hundreds of millions of dollars with television commercials that are nothing but total lies about Obama, they're going to have to take the next step. And the next step is to continue to push the racist message that you hear from Beck, Limbaugh, Hannity, Bortz, the rest of these swine who are determined to destroy the country. Determined, because it's fun. It's sport. They have no skin in the game, as the saying goes. They are ultra millionaires. They are way above the fray. It's fun to see if they can get black people and white people killing each other. If they can get gay people and straight people into situations where gay people are shot. If they can get Jews and Gentiles into situations where somebody gets murdered on their way to Friday night services. If they can get if they can get anybody and Muslims spilling blood in the streets. This is what the right wing in this country is about. This is what every one of these sons of bitches is about. Violence. So, if you have the stomach and you want the proof and you can immunize yourself, listen to some of these scum over the next several months. What they're going to be doing, in addition to the lying commercials that are going to be all over television as a result of these super PACs, listen to what the right-wing garbage mouths are going to be saying. Pushing, pushing, pushing this country to violence. This is their only hope. The only hope they have is that they can instigate enough violence in this country, enough killing, enough shooting, enough insanity, that people will fall back into that old familiar Southern-born and bred racist trap and vote skin color. This is the right's ultimate plan, because they do not have any political ideas that can stand any sort of test, even the stink test. Everything that the Republicans come up with has an odor of destruction, filth, degeneracy all over it. They have no plans, no ideas, no way of defining the future, much less the present. So what is the favorite? I sometimes think the huge section of the country is not aware of these political techniques that were developed here in the South. They were developed in the South over a long period of time, using religion and race and sex to scare the living hell out of people. You know, by sex, I mean homosexuality or kids jumping to bed together if they allow Planned Parenthood anywhere within 100 miles. You know, that kind of garbage. The South is a stupider section of the country. We all know that. I live here. Trust me. I can vouch for this. Why that is, I don't know. But I guess because of the focus on these six disgusting religious crap that just so permeates everything down here. But this is the plan. Now, is there a guidebook written down someplace?
Oh, what are you talking about, Malloy?
Check it out yourself. Is there a guidebook? No, probably not. But watch the television commercials that are going to be out there attacking Obama on nonsense, just like what is going on now. The Republicans saying, yeah, well, you know, the economy's coming back, and we did it. We did it. Jeff Landry, a freshman from Louisiana, told TheHill.com recently, quote, if anybody's going to get a pat on the back for lower unemployment and the better economy, it's House Republicans. End quote. Now, keep in mind, as the Times points out, House Republicans opposed the stimulus bill, which did more than any other piece of legislation to reduce joblessness. They denounced the government bailout of the auto industry, which had restored it to strength and is responsible for saving more than a million jobs. And they opposed the very regulations on this filthy, corrupt banking industry that are designed to keep a similar recession from recurring. But they will tell you, we did it. Yeah, it wasn't Obama. It wasn't that. Muslim in the White House.
Is that nauseating stream of words really dripping from your tongue? Did you have a sleepless night? Can I introduce a catheter?
Get your news unfiltered with Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. This hour is being sponsored by John O'Connor. Thanks, John. His message? Eek! This is what it says. Huey Long, Upton Sinclair, Howard Zinn, and Mike Malloy. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, John. That's a rarefied company. So anyway, to sum up, watch what the billionaires who, along with their vermin-like accomplices, right-wing media, right-wing talk show hosts especially, watch what they're going to attempt to do to Barack Obama. They wouldn't dare touch him on the ideas that they agree with. That is the destruction of civil liberties, the refusal to go after the Nazis who ran this country for 8 years, signing of the NDAA, all the things that Obama has done that left liberals and progressives just stunned, with that feeling of numbness right before a giant rat killing. You know, there they are, the liberals and the progressives going, But, while Obama continues to be the corporatist president that he planned to be. There's the thing about Obama, there's no deception. There might have been some political lies told. He might have said, well, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Well, you know, that's just flat out lying. There's no deception. When you take a look at the right-wing candidates, all you see is deception. Completely. There's not a Republican candidate out there for anything that doesn't lie and slither into office. Anyway, what is coming over the next 6-7 months is just going to be an absolute barrage, avalanche, tsunami, pick your word, of lies and deception dumped on the American public where it concerns Mitt Romney and Barack Obama. So, just expect it. And the right wing, of course, like I mentioned, and it bears repeating over and over and over again. You can hear this any day. Just turn on your radio. Turn on any station in the country that carries talk. With very few exceptions, very few. You can count the stations that have the decency and the refusal to watch this country be destroyed. You can count those stations on the fingers of maybe your hands and your friends. There are a few stations left. But the average radio station at this point doesn't give a goddamn one way or the other. There's very seldom anybody there to even run the station. It's all mechanized. It all comes from syndicators. There's no such thing as program directors or station managers. You know what the station managers do at these right-wing stations now? They make sure that the toilet rolls are replaced and their paper towels in the john and that the coffee machine isn't broken. They don't make any decisions about programming. Those decisions are made way out of control of these right-wing station, quote, managers, end quote. So the right-wing and media will do its bit to try to push the country into more bloodshed. This is what Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh and Michael Savage and Neil Bortz, this is what they're known for. Bill O'Reilly, pushing people to the explosion point. Just pushing and pushing and pushing until physicians are gunned down, until psychopaths start heading toward liberal think tanks with the idea of blowing it up, until people run screaming into so-called black neighborhoods, guns a-blazing. This is what the right wing is pushing for. More bloodshed. And the plan, of course, is that with the bloodshed, white people will just panic and vote for Mitt Romney. I mean, after all, he's religious, kind of, and he's not from Kenya, and he's not a Muslim, and he has lily-white skin. So, of course, they're going to vote for him. So this is the overarching plan. You don't think so? Watch what happens. Just continue, if you can, True Seeker, to keep your eyes and your ears open and your brain as uncorrupted as possible. Just keep in mind where you live. Moving on. Tennessee, I don't know what's going on in Tennessee. I really don't. Tennessee is a very pretty state with its mountains and its rivers. And Chattanooga was, about 20 years ago, was one of the most polluted cities in America. Cleaned itself up. I don't quite get what's going on in Tennessee. But Tennessee lawmakers now have added language to the state's abstinence-only sex education curriculum for the kids in school that warns against gateway sexual activity. Oh, Jesus God. Just like the one drug that is the gateway to all other drugs in this country, although they won't admit it, is cigarettes. It's not alcohol. It's cigarettes. Someone who smokes cigarettes has, I don't know, pick a number, a far greater chance of becoming addicted to other substances or other unhealthy activity. Cigarettes are the gateway drug. Well, now the legislators in Tennessee are warning against gateway sexual activity. Now, they have this bill, Senate Bill 3310. It doesn't specify, it doesn't actually define what gateway sexual activity is. But that phrase is being interpreted to include discouraging anything that has potential to lead to sex, including kissing, hand-holding, cuddling. Oh, my God. Now, keep in mind where this is coming from. This is coming from right-wingers. They want to outlaw kissing, cuddling, hand-holding. I swear to God, I sometimes am utterly convinced beyond any doubt that right-wingers are a different species of human. They look like normal people, but they are not. They are sick bastards, just sick down to the soles of their feet. Now, this bill is in response to recent controversies over sex ed lessons in some Tennessee school districts that mentioned alternatives to sexual intercourse. This is according to the Nashville, Tennessean newspaper. Now, what could that be? Alternatives to sexual intercourse. Uh-oh, where's my Bible? Of course, for the people who want to throw the Bible at sex, if you just go to the Song of Solomon and start reading. Read as long as you can until all of a sudden you get so turned on you have to go indulge in, I don't know, whatever. A 2009 youth risk behavior study found that 61% of Memphis City High School and 27% of middle school students have had sex in Memphis, Tennessee. 61% of high school kids have had sex. Which is higher than the national average, according to all this, according to WMC TV. And Republican State Senator Jack Johnson, no, this is a different one, the bill's sponsor, told the newspaper, the Tennessean, quote, abstinence means from all these activities, and we want to promote that. We do want to communicate to the kids that the best choice is abstinence. End quote. Now, the bill would require a so-called family life education curriculum that prohibits the promotion of contraception and, here it is again, any gateway sexual activity or health message that encourages students to experiment with non-coital sexual activity. Damn, you people in Tennessee, you're getting pretty explicit. I mean, you really are. You're going to dump all these terms out there, and the kids are going to say, huh? What is non-coital? What does that mean? What's a coital? What's a non-coital? Let's go look it up. Oh, really? Is this what they meant? Now, much like a bill that passed through the Utah State Legislature last month, the Tennessee proposal notes that schools should, quote, exclusively and emphatically promote sexual risk avoidance through abstinence, regardless of a student's current or prior sexual experience. It also requires that students are taught the, quote, physical, social, emotional, psychological, economic, and educational consequences of non-marital sexual activity. Holy Toledo, I had no idea. I've got no problems, no cross to bear. If you can find me, come get me out of here. This is my private place. Before the hour, this hour has been sponsored by John O'Connor. Thank you, John. His message, Huey Long, up in Sinclair, Howard Zinn, and Mike Malloy. Yeah, well, thank you, John. That's very kind, as well as being very supportive of the program. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. So, Tennessee lawmakers, to get back to the absurd, want to add language to the state's already ridiculous abstinence-only sex education curriculum. And the language should now warn against what they call gateway sexual activity. Boy, does that leave your mind wandering or scrambling through everything you know about sex to come up with something that would be gateway sexual activity. what in the hell are they talking about? Anyway, part of what they're talking about, they want to discourage kissing. I can't have any of that. Hand-holding. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You mean index fingers entwined? Hugging? Well, you know, a full frontal hug. Do you realize what's pressing against the other person's pressing? Ah! Oh! Now, the proposal also creates legal penalties. Penalties for teachers. Once again, boy, if I were a school teacher, I think I would probably say, look, well, no, I shouldn't say that because most school teachers are highly dedicated and they put up with this crap day in and day out. Let me move on. The proposal in Tennessee creates penalties for teachers who go beyond the curriculum to encourage students in ways aside from abstinence. You know, that would probably be including, look, you're a teenager, you're going to experiment with sex, so the thing to do is make sure that you have what in a gentler time was called protection. In other words, no glove, no love, if you want to put it that way. Or to the young women in the audience, you may join the real world, not where these crazy people live, where, well, we're going to legislate abstinence and we're going to make penalties on teachers who suggest there's some other way to live your life. And get involved in birth control. You could always find a bottle of aspirin. Planned Parenthood. Well, I'll get to that in a second. Parents or legal guardians under this bill would, quote, have a cause of action against the instructor or organization for actual damages, end quote. Now, the word they slipped in there, organization. A cause of action against the instructor or organization. Organizations don't teach our children, do they? So what are they talking about? Could it be Planned Parenthood? The director of Planned Parenthood Education, Elkin Sapisi, told WMC Television that the bill is broad and unrealistic. Its prohibition of so-called gateway sexual activity, end quote, demonstrations would include health education models. In other words, if they're going to prohibit anything that could be considered gateway sexual activity, no more anatomical studies of the human reproductive organs, male or female. Because, you know, somebody might be sitting in a classroom and see those really beyond gynecological depictions of, what? You mean it looks like that? Oh, my God. You know, the cutaway views. Do you remember those? I hate to use the word cutaway view when it's referring to a male penis, but, you know, that's what they are, cutaway views. Ow. Can you imagine the kids sitting in there going, holy Toledo, look at that. Is that what it looks like? I'll tell you what, after school, let's go check each other out. Let's go see if it really looks like it. This is what they're talking about. That showing biological depictions of the human anatomy is a gateway sexual activity. This is how sick the religious right is turning this country. And it ain't the Muslim religious right, although they're just as sick, but they're not in control. It's the Christian religious right. Parents objected a couple years ago when students at a Nashville high school were taught how to apply a condom using a plastic model. Don't want my kids learning how to do that. Let little sons of bitches figure it out themselves. Ain't going to be showing them how to do it. I'd rather have my kid get pregnant than put one of them things on a model. See, okay, if you don't want the health education class in your high school to demonstrate the proper way to apply form of birth control that is millennia old. Thousands of years condoms have been used. But all of a sudden, no, it says in the Bible. Okay. So if you don't want that, what do you want?
Well, I'd rather have my daughter get pregnant than learn out of that, by that crap.
You would? You really would?
Well, yeah, it'd be a gift from God.
Really? And how do you teach children about sexually transmitted diseases and how to avoid them? Something really vile is happening in this country. You know it, and I know it. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.